Let's pray. God, thank you, Lord, for our Lord Jesus Christ and for your church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have a seat. It's good to have a little drumming going on today. Loving that. Thank you, David. So here we go, modern technology. Help. Good, it worked. A couple of things before I start. I just wanted to remind everybody here, talking about modern technology, not so modern anymore, but internet. We do have a webpage, redwateralliancechurch.org. On there, you will find the bulletin, electronic version of the bulletin. You'll find the sermons, series of sermons. You'll find our statement of belief. You'll find a lot of stuff. You'll find some resources there. You'll find the webpage, the link to the Christian Missionary Alliance. Lots of stuff on that webpage. So I would encourage you, if you use the internet, to have that as your favorite somewhere on your thing and look at it from time to time, because it's just a really great resource. And I'm just thinking out loud now, so you might see your pastor on Twitter one day soon, and Pinterest, and yes, it's the way the church, the way we need to reach people these days. We'll talk about that another time. The other thing I want to talk about is lunch. Please, yeah, you're smelling stuff, please stay for lunch. Okay. So I want to say this, start with this. Two men were walking through a field one day when they spotted an enraged bull. Instantly, they darted toward the nearest fence. The storming bull followed in hot pursuit, and it was soon apparent they wouldn't make it. Terrified, the one shouted to the other, "Put up a prayer, John. We're in for it." John answered, "I can't. I've never made a public prayer in my life." Huh? "But you must," implored his companion. "The bull is catching up to us." "All right," panted John. "I'll say the only prayer I know. The one my father used to repeat at the table. Oh Lord, for what we're about to receive, make us truly thankful." I don't know if I'd pray that prayer, but that's okay. CTV News reported on Thanksgiving Day in 2014 and listed several responses from Canadians to this question. What are you thankful for? Here are some of them. "My extraordinary wife, who puts up with five boys. The freedom to enjoy what Canada has to offer." That's a good one. "My little Sophie, who's 11 months old." That's a good one to be thankful for. And there's another one, the last one. "Thankful for all the nurses, the doctors, the EMTs, the cops, the forces, and fire folks working today while I'm home jamming 4 pounds of turkey into my mouth." That's a little crass, but you know what? That's the truth, right? Now, Thanksgiving Day is a national holiday, and many people take the time that day specifically with family and friends and church maybe, whatever, and are, you know, really thinking about what they're thankful for. It's good, especially turkey supper and pumpkin pie and stuff like that, as that guy referenced 4 pounds of turkey, right? You know, as a church, we have a lot to be thankful for, and one of those things that we're thankful for, I think, in this last little while, is this journey we've been on when we've been talking about prayer. Really to get a grasp of what God designed prayer to be like and for. I hope you've had a chance to be challenged and check your Bibles week to week as we talk about certain aspects of prayer and see how that's played out in the story of God's story in the Bible. And it's really a process that we're developing a theology of prayer. And our approach has been fairly simple, I think. It seemed academic at times, I understand that, but it's just necessary sometimes to do that. But week by week, building upon the foundation, building block by building block, and I hope at the same time allowing the Holy Spirit to teach us and guide us and clarify for us and say and move us in the direction that the God wants us to be in regards to prayer in our personal lives. And this morning, we're looking at the DNA of prayer, thanksgiving. Hence, those thanksgiving things I was talking about. Really attempting to answer the question, What does the DNA code that we find in prayer say about thanksgiving in the context of prayer? And on that note, why don't we pray? Lord God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for this time of the service where we hear your word and we look at it in depth. And we ask you by your Spirit, Lord, to guide us and to teach us and to mold us and shape us to become more and more like your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we glorify you. We glorify you in your word. We lift up your word to you. Oh, Lord, teach us and guide us. In Jesus' name, amen. So, again, with your Bibles, if you turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, you already heard the scripture that we're going to be using today. It's a short scripture, but it's worth repeating. Paul, in his letter to the Thessalonians in this last chapter, concludes with a bunch of final instructions. And this is the one we're using for our sermon today. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16 to 18. Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. I want to break these verses down into three chewable parts. And just with one caution to all of us, let's not proof text this. You know, take a chance this afternoon and read the rest of Thessalonians to get a good grasp of this. But we're going to, for the purposes of this morning, we're going to break it down into verse 16, 17, and 18. Three chewable parts. So let's look at verse 16. It says simply, be joyful always, in my New International Version. This word joyful, which is also translated rejoice, say in the King James Version, this word, either one, joyful or rejoice, same word, is a present active imperative. Don't memorize that. I said this for a reason. It's a present active imperative in the original language, okay? And what this means in a nutshell is that this kind of joy that Paul is talking about here is happening now in the believer. And it comes with an imperative. What is an imperative? It's a force. It's a command, almost. Well, it is a command in that language. It's an imperative. So it's a joy that is happening now in the believer with a force. Okay? And then we have another word that's joined with this verb, always. This is the adverb. And whenever we have an adverb, it's a point of clarification and emphasis. We can put it another way, at all times. Always, at all times. Be joyful at all times. So we have this adverb that brings clarification and emphasis. And you join that together with the imperative force, what the Apostle Paul was saying here to the believers in Thessalonica, you're saying it with as much force possible. With this choice of words and the grammar structure here in this sentence, Paul said, rejoice at all times. Rejoice at all times. This is the same kind of exhortation that Paul gave to the church of Philippi in Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always. There's the word rejoice now instead of joyful. I will say it again, rejoice. How's your joy today? How's your joy? Be honest. Be honest when I ask you that question. How's your joy today? And while you're thinking about that, listen to this poem. Ready? Oh, somewhere in this favored land, the sun is shining bright. The band is playing somewhere on the drum. No. Playing somewhere, and somewhere hearts are light, and somewhere men are laughing, and somewhere children shout. But there is no joy in Mudville. Mighty Casey has struck out. Everybody familiar with that poem? Written by Ernest Thayer in 1888. Mudville's hope was placed in the one and only Casey. And he let him down. He let him down. He struck out. Has anyone let you down recently? Has anyone let you down recently? Your hope and happiness depending on someone else or something else? Is that where you placed your hope and joy? There's no joy in Mudville for you today. My friends, when Paul wrote 1 Thessalonians, he knew that the believers had struggled and faced all kinds of trials and persecutions and tribulations for their faith in Christ. Listen to these words, 1 Thessalonians 2:14. For you, brothers and sisters, became imitators of God's churches in Judea, which are in Christ Jesus. You suffered from your own countrymen the same things those churches suffered from the Jews. Remember, Paul is writing to Gentiles. What the Jews suffered from their very own countrymen, ostracized, looked down upon, even put in jail, maybe. Killed. These people here in Thessalonica were suffering the same thing. But the Apostle Paul can turn to them in his letter with a thankful heart and say this in 1 Thessalonians 1:6-7. You became imitators of us and of the Lord in spite of severe suffering. In spite of severe suffering, you welcomed the message with joy given by the Holy Spirit. With joy. And so you became a model to all believers in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. These Thessalonians were suffering persecutions and trials for their faith in Christ, but they received it with joy in their heart because of Christ Jesus. And because of their witness and their testimony, the word got out into the countryside. Despite severe suffering, these Gentile believers welcomed the message with joy and became a model of faith in Christ. What was the secret to their joy? Can I ask you that question? What was the secret to their joy during their severe suffering? What was their secret? Was it Casey? Was Casey up at bat for them? Was it Paul? What was their secret? God. God was their secret. You welcome the message with joy given by the Holy Spirit. Charles Spurgeon, in the 1880s, he was known as I can't even remember the words they used to explain his preaching. Eloquent, gifted, honey coming out of his mouth, that kind of stuff. He wrote this. I am bound to mention among the curiosities of the churches that I have known many deeply spiritual Christian people who have been afraid to rejoice. Interesting. Some take such a view of religion that it is to them a sacred duty to be gloomy. Unquote. Spurgeon really hits on another point. Another point that is true to this day. This is not a case of people suffering from trials and persecutions. This is a case of having a negative or critical spirit. That is, it is our sacred duty to be gloomy as a Christian. It's our sacred duty to be a sarpus, to be critical, to be negative. I'm not saying we don't be examining the issues of our culture and time and presence with seriousness. This is not what we're talking about here in this word here, be joyful always, are we? We're not talking about that. It's not our sacred duty to be gloomy. Sometimes we're gloomy. That's the truth. The Thessalonian church would have nothing to do with this kind of thinking either. They welcomed the message with joy given by the Holy Spirit. A believer's joy is not based on circumstances, but in God. In God and God alone. Our circumstances can change, but our God does not change. So put your hope and joy in the one that never changes, is what Paul is saying here to us. Moving along, we have the next verse, 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray continually. Two words. That's a pretty short verse. Two words. Like verse 16, we have a verb followed by an adverb. Pray continually. Okay? The same principle we applied in verse 16, we apply here. We have an emphasis that brings clarity and an imperative force. So Paul was exhorting the church to pray incessantly, to pray without ceasing, to pray without ceasing. I want to offer you 2 points to help us understand, help you and me understand what Paul was getting at here in this kind of context, or this context. So the first thing we learned in our sermon series when we first started was that prayer is primarily a vertical movement. Okay? Prayer, Christian prayer, is our response and request to what God has spoken to in the Bible. His words. His very words. It's our response and request. It's primarily vertical. This is what Paul was getting at in his letter to the Ephesians when he said in Ephesians 6:18, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. See, he was speaking to the church about spiritual warfare. By the way, we're in spiritual warfare every day of our lives. Had lots of that on me today. He was speaking to the church about spiritual warfare and putting on the armor of God. You know, do you remember that part? As the believer engages in spiritual warfare and uses all the weapons, because this is what he's talking about. He's, you know, it's the weapons that we have to fight the devil and his minions, so to speak. 3 of them: salvation, the written word of God, and prayer. So this is what the major point here is. We pray without ceasing because it's our response and request to God out of our relationship by faith. 2nd point that will help us understand that, we pray continually. This is an important question to answer. How can we pray continually? We can't always be on our knees. We can't always be doing all those things that we call prayer. We do go to sleep. We do go to work. We do go do things. I'm up here talking to you. It's an important question to ask. And I think what happens sometimes is we lose focus on this question or on this praying continually idea. We get so focused on the trees. Follow me on this. We get focused on the posture of prayer. Okay? The posture of prayer. We get focused on the place of prayer. We get focused on the time to pray. Or praying out loud. We get so focused on these things that we miss the forest. Christians are to pray continually. That's the big picture. We are just to pray continually. That's our life as a Christian. So to quote the Blue Letter Bible, prayer is communication with God, and we can live each minute of the day in a constant flowing conversation with God. Okay, don't get caught up in the trees, but look at the forest, is what I'm suggesting this morning. What I think is coming out of this scripture, to pray continually. Doesn't take away the importance of setting aside daily times to be with the Lord in your prayer closet. We'll call it that. Absolutely necessary. That's important. But as we said before, prayer is a soul of worship. Worship, a Christian worships unceasingly in our activities every day. We were created to worship Almighty God. And because of Christ, now we can. Every moment of our day is a day of an opportunity to worship Almighty God because of Christ. And prayer is a soul of worship. Prayer is where it just comes right from the... Where's that guy? Gut. No, he didn't say it. Okay, right from there. Okay? Day by day, we can choose to practice a constant flowing conversation with God. And please, when you do that in your car, keep your eyes open. Because I do that in my car. Okay? I pray in my car. Absolutely. Why not? Keeps me from being angry. We were talking about this morning when drivers drive by me. But anyways, constant flowing conversation. There was another fella I want to introduce you to. Maybe, who's heard of Brother Lawrence? No, you haven't. You've heard of Brother Lawrence? You've heard him? Yeah. He's not alive, by the way. So it's not a recent guy. Nobody you know now is Brother Lawrence. He lived in the 17th century, and he was a monk. And some guy, or some people, took the time to keep his letters and some of his writings. And I'm glad they did. I'm really glad they did. Okay, so they put it together in a book called The Practice of the Presence of God. And I'll just read this to you, a quote from there. Remember what I have recommended to you, which is to think often on God, by day and by night, in your business and even in your diversions. He is always near you and with you. Leave him not alone. You would think it rude to leave a friend alone who came to visit you. Why then must God be neglected? Do not then forget him, but think of him often. Adore him continually. Live and die with him. This is the glorious employment of a Christian. In a word, this is our profession. If we do not know it, we must learn it. Pray unceasingly. This is what we do. This is what we must do. Paul is saying, pray unceasingly. Be joyful always. Lift the smile a little bit there. You have the hope of eternity in your heart. And pray unceasingly. There's a really good example of that. If you go to your Bibles, Luke chapter 11. Let's turn there for a second. I'm not going to read all that. We don't have the time to do that. But I want to give it to you as an example. And another example that you can read on your own time. It's Jesus in Luke chapter 11 is teaching on prayer. That's where we have our, you hear the Lord's Prayer. Okay? And then he talks about, suppose one of you has a friend and he goes to him at midnight and says, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. Of course, who goes to somebody at midnight, right? And then he persists. And finally his friend, of course he's going to help him. He's going to give him some food, right? Okay? And then he asks, the biggest thing he leaves us with there, Jesus leaves us with this thought. Luke 11, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks, receive. He who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be open. Luke 11, 9 and 10. Okay? And then if you go to Luke chapter 18, quickly flip over there, is the parable of the persistent widow. Here again, Jesus is trying to teach his disciples by why they should always pray and never give up praying. Okay? Never give up praying. Because this is our profession, Brother Lawrence would say. This is our profession. If we do not know it, we must learn it. To be in the practice the presence of God in your day-to-day. Okay? Thessalonians 5:18. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So this is our last verse. Here we have another present active imperative. Right here. In the phrase, give thanks. Which is also our verb. Remember what I said about that. There's a force here and it's happening now. It's present in the believer and there's a force behind this. Okay? Christian prayer does not have an option clause in it. It cannot avoid thanking God. It cannot. The true prayer of a Christian, right there in that quote that God put in there, cannot avoid thanking God. Just can't. You might not go there right away, but you just can't avoid it. Okay? It's in the code, and God put it there by himself. Let's go back to our Ephesians letter, and Ephesians 5:19-20. Speak to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord. Always give thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. The believer speaks and he sings and he gives thanks always from the heart. And whatever you do, whether in word or in deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. the believer can speak and sing and pray continually and give thanks always in each circumstance, because their hope and their joy is in Casey. No, hold it. God. God. Again, Blue Letter Bible. We recognize God's sovereign hand in charge and not blind fate or chance. If anyone says to you that's challenging your faith as a Christian, you have blind faith, you know you don't. You know you don't. Don't argue on that point, but you know you don't. You don't have blind faith. Because you can speak and you can sing and you can pray continually and you can do the work that you have been called to do, whatever it is in your day, and you're worshiping and praying to God always. You always do that. You always want to do that. That's the Spirit of God in you. Always lifting up Jesus. Do you believe this? What I've just said? Do you believe this? Think about it. Don't answer. It's a rhetorical question. I want you to think about this. Ponder this. Do you believe this? Do you walk the talk? By the way, there's three fingers pointing at me, okay? So it's on my heart too. This morning I wasn't walking the talk. I was allowing things like my computer and all sorts of things to get in the way. And I had to make a decision. This is a personal one, by the way. But I'll share it. What do you want me to do, God? He said, preach. Okay. I'll preach. Forget about the rest of the stuff. Right? This is the decision. Do we walk the talk? We have three encouragements with us this morning. We can rejoice always. We can pray continually, without ceasing. And in everything, we can give thanks. And remembering the grammar and the Greek, it's not a suggestion. It's not a suggestion. Paul is not suggesting this, because he says, for this is the will for you in Christ Jesus. For this is the will for you in Christ Jesus. You know, I know it is not always easy to be joyful. Absolutely. That'd be silly. There are times to mourn, there are times to, you know, there's times and seasons in life. There's not always easy to pray continually. Prayer is hard work. And it's not always easy to be thankful in every and each circumstance. But if we truly believe God and what he has spoken in his word, by faith, if we truly believe that, not by sight, then it's really reasonable and sensible to recognize that when you, by faith, rejoice always and pray continually, the result will be a heart full of gratitude and thankfulness, because God will keep, and I have to hit this button here, his word. God will keep his word, and he will answer your prayers according to his purposes and his plans for you and for me. You know, we have so much to be thankful, don't we? I've said that already a couple times today. Far beyond what was mentioned at the beginning with those, you know, thank you, my wife looks after five kids, and all those people are out there so I can eat 4 pounds of turkey. We have so much more to be thankful than that. We have so much more. When you pray, remember to thank God for those eternal blessings that he's given you. Salvation, the word of God, his spirit to be with you day in and day out and day in and day out until you graduate to heaven. Always with you. Never are you alone. God is with you. So many things to be thankful for. The list could go on, but I'll leave you with this and I'll close in prayer. Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Almighty God, that you loved us so much that you didn't leave us in our state, and you sent your one and only Son, that we can have eternal life. Praise you and thank you, Lord, for your many, many blessings in life. In Jesus' name, amen.